is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Most surveys are done over the phone or internet these days, but a different kind of health survey taking place in Wisconsin requires hours of a person's time and can even include a sample of blood if the subject wants to give it. The Survey of the Health of Wisconsin, or SHO, is an ambitious project being conducted by the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. It aims to take a very detailed yet confidential snapshot of the health of more than 1,000 residents around Wisconsin. They've recently been working in the Holman and Onalaska areas. Mary Meehan Stroob, the director of UW Extension for La Crosse County, talked with Diane Mihowski-Turner and Mary Farrell Steve about the scope of the project.
It is a research project that aims to collect data from across the state of Wisconsin and consolidate it into a database that can be used by researchers, community planners, and other organizations that are concerned about the health of Wisconsin and looking for ways to assess our current health policies and practices and our current physical health and create ways to improve on that. And so that's what we are about.
And so what's involved with that then?
What we do is after we have a random sample, we select a block group. And Mary and her students get to work on that. They contact people in that area, for example, public health officials, city officials, and they tell them about SHO. They call them, they send them out information. Then, from the office, they send out letters to the households in this area that have been selected, and that's usually about 28 households. Mm-hmm. The letter is sent, and in that letter, they get a brief explanation of what SHO is about, and that a recruiter is going to come out in about a week or two, tell them more about the project, and ask them to participate. When a recruiter, such as myself, goes out, we go up to the door, we show them the letter, we tell them where we're from, we show them our identification, and we start to tell them more about the project. We tell them how important it is and why we're hoping that they're going to participate. What we do then is we ask if we can do what we call a screener of the household to find out who is eligible to participate. And there are two criteria for participation. You have to be a resident of that household for at least 6 months, and you have to be between the ages of 21 and 74. So we do a screener of the household to find out who lives there. If people decide that they're going to participate, then we do a consent form with them. And in that consent form, we read with them and explain to them all the parts of the project, and they signed a consent. What the project then involves is we do a 1 to 1.5 hour in-home interview. And at that time, we ask about some specific topics. We ask about, you know, where they get their water from in the household. Have they tested for radon? A little bit about their occupational history and so forth. Then we leave it with them, a booklet. And in that booklet are questions about topics that we think are best answered at home. Mm-hmm. For example, we ask them about sleep patterns. Sleep is very important. We ask them about diet. We ask them about stress and how they feel about their neighborhood. And then we invite them back for the last part of the project. At that time, we ask about questions on other topics. For example, with women, we ask about reproductive history. If they'll let us, we draw their blood, and we give them the results within a period of about 3 or 4 weeks. We go for cholesterol and glucose and creatinine. We tell them then about, you know, what their liver and kidney function is. We do a lung capacity test. We test them for the ratio between solid and non-solid fat and non-fat in their body. We do blood pressure. We weigh them. We measure their height. We pay them $95. We pay them for mileage to and from our survey center or our mobile exam center, depending upon where they're located. Mm-hmm. And if they have child care or if they have to pay to care for relatives or friends that they usually care for, we compensate them for that.
This survey that you're doing is quite different than what I would normally think of as a survey. Why did you choose this approach?
What we're trying to do is gather data for researchers. And so we want it to be scientifically viable. We want it to be accurate. We want it to be of the depth and breadth necessary for researchers to look at that data and be able to draw valid conclusions and or form valid questions that can be then researched further. So this survey is probably set up a little different than the kinds of surveys mm-hmm. that we get from our alumni associations or something, because what we're doing is we're trying to set up a base for more research in the future.
This must be the first of this type of research in Wisconsin?
This is the first statewide health project of its type in the entire country. And it mm-hmm. is modeled on a project that started back in 1956, which has become the National Health and Nutritional Examination Study. Mm-hmm. And from that study, which is almost 60 years old, they have learned a number of very important things. For example, to put folic acid in food to prevent birth defects. It's from the results of that study that lead was taken out of gasoline that we have the growth charts for children. So we use some of the questions that they use, and they are our model. And so they found things that they weren't looking for, and we may do the same thing with SHOW.
What do you hope to learn from the research that you find here in the Holman and Onalaska area as well as throughout Wisconsin?
I think what we're hoping to find is the true story about people's health. We want to be able to say this is a truly an accurate picture. And we can't say that we any specific health indicator that we want to find, but we want to get some markers for all sorts of health indicators. We found some interesting things, though, already. We've been in the field since...
We started in 2008. We began our training. The field staff began training in 2007.
And we have over 1,600 participants whose information is in our database. So we're just getting to the point where we can start putting together some preliminary numbers. But some of the things that are kind of interesting are that 32% of us report that we don't get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. And I think that if somebody had asked me, I'd have said, oh, pretty much 100% of the adults report they don't get enough sleep. But I would have been wrong. But I think that one of the things that I was interested in when I heard it was 35% of the people that were surveyed and then tested were found to have high blood pressure. But of those 35%, 69% of those were aware of their condition previous to the testing. Mm-hmm. That means there was quite a percentage of people that weren't aware that they had high blood pressure until SHOW came to town. Mm-hmm. And not that we can take credit for you know, helping these people realize that, but the fact that there are a lot of us out here who are not truly in tune with our bodies, are not aware of our own health. And
I find every once in a while that people will look at you and say, you know, I never thought about that issue. I wonder if I should pay attention to this. Or they'll leave and they'll say, thank you. This was really interesting.
You started the survey here in the La Crosse area earlier this summer. Mm-hmm. Have you had any problems getting people to take the survey?
No. I mean, there are always people who are busy or who are not interested, but by and large, the reception has been very good.
And so how many will you actually do in that? It's the Holman and La Crosse area, correct?
Right, that's right.
We haven't finished our recruiting yet.
Okay. And how many do you hope to do?
36 households in each of the two block groups in this area have been invited. And then we don't know until Diane and the team knock on the door how many eligible adults in each of those households will participate. So our hope is to get one person out of each household mm-hmm. to participate, but a lot of times we have husbands and wives, adult children, all willing to answer the questions.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Mary Nguyen Strube, and my guests today are Mary Farrell Steve and Diane Michalski Turner, who are with us from SHO, which is the Survey of Health of Wisconsin, and they're doing research right here in the La Crosse area, and we're sharing information about what's being collected and how it's going to be used. Now, the common stereotype here in Wisconsin for someone is that if you're from Wisconsin, we like to eat a little too much cheese and maybe some bratwurst and maybe drink a little too much beer, probably not get quite enough exercise. Not a stereotype that we necessarily like to project, but it's one that's out there. So how is this survey going to help us go beyond that stereotype?
We have our scientists who are in the process now of publishing papers, and we happen to be working with La Crosse and Wood Counties on a project that is called Communities Putting Prevention to Work. This is a project where these two counties receive monies to do a campaign to encourage more exercise and better nutrition. And what we are doing at SHO is we have some of our staff working with local researchers and students to follow up on the outcomes of those two projects. In La Crosse, we have students working on a project that's called WASABI, which is the Wisconsin Assessment of Social and Built Environment. They have the neighborhoods in which people participated in answering questions about this campaign to La Crosse health officials. And they go into these areas, down these streets, and they assess what these neighborhoods look like. Can they find recreational facilities? Are there places that they can walk? And then they do another part of it. They go in and they look at food stores, convenience stores, and restaurants to find out what kinds of foods are available. For example, in restaurants, in these areas where some of these La Crosse participants live, can you find, you know, low-calorie, low-fat items on the menu? So this is a follow-up.
How expensive is it for this survey to be done? And is it something that you're going to be doing very often?
Let me address the very often. The plan for this survey is that it will be open-ended, that we will continue doing it indefinitely, because one of the things that we hope to do is not only get a picture of Wisconsin at this moment in time, but then also to get a picture of Wisconsin over time so that we can compare what Wisconsin looks like today in 2011 and then again in 10 years. So what do we look like in 2021 and what has changed? What has stayed the same? And so the plan is to make this study a long-term study. And it is labor-intensive and it is expensive, but it is a project that a lot of organizations that are totally committed to the health of people in the United States, people in Wisconsin, are behind and that they find value in. And so we have been honored to have been funded by organizations that have given us grants to continue this work.
You've been in the Onalaska Holman area on a couple different occasions.
Correct.
So far this year. What else is planned, or how many more times do you think you'll be in this area?
Well, we don't know, because each year a different random sample is taken.
So in essence, when you do the random sampling, it isn't that you'll necessarily come back to La Crosse or Onalaska next year.
That's
it
correct.
It could be in another county.
Or maybe, you know, maybe not for another 10 years.
Okay. The way it works, Mary, is that each year 72 block groups are selected from across the state of Wisconsin. And we break those up by congressional district to try to get it evenly spread across the state. And those block groups are selected by random sampling, but they try to incorporate rural, urban, different socioeconomic levels. So we try to make sure that we are covering all the different groups in the state. Because of the random sampling, we never really know where we're going to end up. And, of course, the goal is to get into every county of the state and to give both urban and rural participants an equal chance to take part in the survey.
You mentioned that you take out mobile clinics because part of the surveying includes blood draws and other kinds of, I'll call them medical things or components. So how do you determine where to take those mobile clinics?
Okay, we have two permanent survey sites. One is in Middleton and the other one is in downtown Milwaukee. And for participants who live within, between 30 and 40 miles from those permanent survey sites, we invite them to come there to do the what I'm going to call the clinical part of the survey. Otherwise, we take our mobile exam centers, our big RVs, out. But we also work with the Marshfield Research Foundation, and in the northern parts of the state, we can use some of their clinics. And if we can't take our mobile exam centers out, then we find other facilities where we can set up the clinical format.
The people who are willing to volunteer and participate in this study should not have to travel far for that last portion of the survey, and so we try to come to them.
If someone's listening to us on the program today and are interested in possibly taking the survey, can they do that?
And, no.
Or how could they get involved?
No. No. This is a random sample. Therefore, we draw the household addresses. So we can't offer participation to anyone, only to those households that have been randomly drawn. If they're interested, we're going to invite them to take a look at our website.
And I can give that web address. It's www.show.wisc.edu. And they can visit that website. If they want to be on a mailing list, we put out newsletters twice a year giving updates on what the year has been like, some early statistics on what we found. If they're interested in those will be posted on that website, and they can take a look at those.
And with respect to the information that you're collecting, and it's confidential, as you say, but will you be following up with these people? And how often?
We've already started following up with some of our earlier participants. And the plan is about every 2 years, those that are willing to take part in that part of the survey, and the response there, Mary, has been great too, they're followed up with a phone call that has about 20 minutes worth of questions, basically trying to establish what has changed since we last made contact with you. And so that part of the project has already begun, and that will continue. And so people who take part in the Onalaska, Holman, La Crosse area will be asked if they would be willing to be part of our telephone follow-up.
And we paid them. We give them $20 for that, yes. We feel that people's time is valuable.
As you look over time, what do you think that the total cost of this effort of doing this type of research is in Wisconsin?
Mary, I should have brought our finance person with us.
No, just give me a ballpark figure.
I can't. Can't even give you a ballpark figure on that. But look at it one, you know, you can look at it as a cost or you can look at it as an investment. If we can create findings even that closely match the kinds of things that NHANES has found, I mean, think about the lead issue and think about the lives it's saved and the money that it's saved over time. If SHO creates a finding that's anything like that, think of the good that will come out of this, and we feel confident that the data we're collecting can be used by researchers and things like that, things that will improve our health, make it easier for us to get healthy, stay healthy, live longer. can be found by just examining the way we live, the environments we live in, and the choices we make. And so we think of it as an investment.
How do researchers hope that the results that you find can be used to improve the state's health in both short-term and long-term?
There are various researchers with various research interests, and it's up to them to use the data. They can select our data. They can use our data for various projects. So we can't tell you what sorts of things, what sorts of topics people are going to choose to look at. What we're doing is providing a big database with all kinds of information.
And probably a big picture look at
yes,
what we
you know,
have here.
That is the wonderful thing about CHO, besides giving a context. It's holistic. I mean, we give information about water quality, where, you know, where people's water comes from, what their family history is like, how much stress they've had in their lives, what their neighborhood environments have had on their lives, caretaking responsibilities. There's all kinds of information that a researcher can get from our database and use it. And they may not even think about using it until they take a look at our database and say, oh, my heavens, I've got information about occupation here. Never thought about that before.
We have researchers already that are studying things like the effects of Great Lakes fish on fishermen in that area. We've got researchers who are looking at the amount of vitamin D we get here in Wisconsin and how that is affecting us. We already talked about wasabi, but we have researchers looking at built environments, nutritional environments, and looking at the impacts of those. So we have researchers that have already come to us, asked to be a part of the CHO survey, and then are taking the data that they get from that and examining it and looking at cause and effect, looking at other research questions from our data. And we think that'll just grow.
Mary Farrell Steve and Diane Michalski Turner talking about the work of the Survey of the Health of Wisconsin with Mary Meehan Stroop, who is director of UW Extension for La Crosse County. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll look at the health of the La Crosse River Marsh and what the recent discovery of possible lead contamination may mean. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.